Public speaking, it's actually not such a good thing to start your presentation with apologies. Because then the audience tends to think, it's not going to be that great. I know if I'll be able to sit through this. So I won't do that. But at the same time, instead of an apology, I'll just start off with a disclaimer. Maybe that's caveat. And the disclaimer is that I'm very much at home with, not that I'm complacent that I really know it inside and out, but I'm quite at home with Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavad Gita philosophy and some related themes in terms of tattva. But in terms of lila, I'm not at all expert. So the saving grace is that actually tomorrow is the real deal. Tomorrow is when Lord Balaram appears, and also a very wonderful devotee, Dina Bhanu Prabhu, will be here, Krishna willing. I'm pretty sure Krishna is willing. And then you'll hear someone who not only knows the narrations, but actually feels them, and has been spending years and years and years taking people to holy places around Vrindavan and sharing with them so many details of the nectar of the leelas of Krishna and Balaram and Radharani, etc., in all these places. So let's see what we can say this morning for someone who's really not too expert in this area. What I did when I took these notes, first I'll just read a short biography of Lord Balaram, which is found, we'll do with that, and then we'll talk a little bit about the tattva of Lord Balaram, just a few points, time will not let us go through all this, and then some lila, which tomorrow will probably be greatly expanded. The biography of Lord Balaram, we can call it that. There's a, I think this is a list of the personalities at the Rajasuya sacrifice, where Srila Prabhupada has all the short biographies of different personalities. I think it was that time. And he has a section about Lord Balaram. This is from the 11th chapter of the first canto, text 16-17, purport. Very long purport, but this is just about Lord Balaram. Baladev, he is the divine son of Vasudev by his wife Rohini. Actually, Balaram was also born in the womb of Devaki, was transferred. He is also known as Rohini Nandana, the beloved son of Rohini. He was also entrusted to Nanda Maharaj along with his mother Rohini. When Vasudev, it says he embraced imprisonment, in other words, he had to accept imprisonment by mutual agreement with Kamsa. So Nanda Maharaj is also the foster father of Baladev along with Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna and Lord Baladev were constant companions from their very childhood, although they were stepbrothers. He is the plenary manifestation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore he is as good and powerful as Lord Krishna. He belongs to the Vishnu Tattva principle of Godhead. Vishnu Tattva in parentheses, the principle of Godhead. He attended the Svayamvara ceremony of Draupadi along with Sri Krishna. When Subhadra was kidnapped by Arjuna, by the organized plan of Sri Krishna, Baladev was very angry with Arjuna and wanted to kill him at once. Sri Krishna, for the sake of his dear friend, fell at the feet of Lord Baladev and implored him, it means he begged him not to be so angry. Sri Baladev was thus satisfied. Similarly, he was once very angry with the Kauravas and he wanted to throw their whole city into the depths of the Yamuna. But the Kauravas satisfied him by surrendering unto his divine lotus feet. He was actually the seventh son of Devaki prior to the birth of Lord Krishna. There it is. He was actually the seventh son of Devaki prior to the birth of Lord Krishna. But by the will of the Lord, he was transferred to the womb of Rohini to escape the wrath of Kamsa. His other name is therefore Shankarshan, who is also the plenary portion of Sri Baladeva. Because he is as powerful as Lord Krishna and can bestow spiritual power to the devotees, he is therefore known as Baladeva. In the Vedas also, it is enjoined that no one can know the Supreme Lord without being favored by Baladeva. Bala means spiritual strength, not physical. Some less intelligent persons interpret Bala as the strength of the body, but no one can have spiritual realization by physical strength. Physical strength ends with the end of the physical body, but spiritual strength follows the spirit soul to the next transmigration, and therefore the strength obtained by Baladeva is never wasted. In other words, even if we don't go back to Godhead, back to home, back to Godhead in one lifetime, which could just happen, but whatever spiritual strength that we've accrued by the mercy of Lord Balaram and Lord Nityananda, who is none different, that will take us to the next transmigration, and we'll get a tremendous boost in our continued spiritual development. The strength is eternal, and thus Baladeva is the original spiritual master of all devotees. Sri Baladeva was also a class friend of Lord Krishna as a student of Sandipani Muni. In his childhood, he killed many asuras along with Sri Krishna, and specifically, he killed the Dainakasura at Talavan. During the Kurukshetra battle, he remained neutral, and he tried his best not to bring about the fight or to avoid the fight. He was in favor of Duryodhana, but still he remained neutral. When there was a club fight between Duryodhana and Bhimasen, he was present on the spot. He was angry at Bhimasen when the latter struck Duryodhana on the thigh or below the belt, and he wanted to retaliate the unfair action. Lord Sri Krishna saved Bhima from his wrath, from the wrath of Balaram, but he left the place at once, being disgusted at Bhimasen. And after his departure, Duryodhana fell to the ground to meet his death. The funeral ceremony of Abhimanyu, the son of Arjuna, was performed by him, as he was the maternal uncle. It was impossible to be performed by any of the Pandavas, who were all overwhelmed with grief. At the last stage, he departed from this world by producing a great white snake from his mouth, and thus he was carried by Sheshanaga in the shape of a serpent. Again, that's the 11th chapter, from the 11th chapter, 16, 17 verse, purport, first canto. A little more on what we can categorize as tattva. Tattva is also important. I think he's here in Alatra, Dhruva Maharaj Prabhu, God brother. He gave a class on Janmastami, the very day in Vrindavan at Krishna Balaram Mandir, and he asked a good question. He said, what's the difference between our observance of Janmashtami and what millions and millions and millions of people are doing all over India? What's special about our observance? And he proposed that the speciality of the observance in ISKCON, Krishna Balaram Mandir, was that we were given, and we are gradually understanding, not just the Leela, but also the Tattva. Because all around India, everyone is celebrating the Leela of Krishna, in the case of Janmashtami, or in the case of, to a certain extent, in the case of the appearance of Lord Balaram, Baladev, Balaram Jayanti, tomorrow. But not that many are catching the actual especially who those who are, well, not that many, let's just leave it like that, not that many are catching the tattva. And that is important. Janma karma cha me divyam evam yoveti tatvataha japade hambuna jaman iti mam iti sarjana. Prabhupada would quote that verse so frequently, verse 9 of chapter 4 in Bhagavad Gita, that one who understands in truth the tattva of my birth, we can say so-called birth, and my karma, my so-called karma or works, does not upon leaving this body take birth again, but attains my eternal abode. So it behooves us to understand something about tattva. Now one thing that will come out here is that the tattva of Lord Balaram is not so easy to understand. We'll get into that. One point a little easier to understand is that Prabhupada, as was mentioned in that, what I call calling a biography that we just read, is the Nayam Atma Bala Hinena Labhyam. Prabhupada said that in the, what is it, Upanishads? That's where that verse comes from. That, and there are different translations, a very maybe non-conclusive translation at the beginning. It says, one who is less strong, this is from a conversation, August 1974, Srila Prabhupada. One who is less strong and one who has no support of the strength, then he cannot make any progress in self-realization. That perhaps is a more literal translation. Na ayam atma. You can't get atma, self-realization. Bala hinena. With hinena means without bala, without strength, then labhyam, you can't obtain this atma or atma tattva. But it goes further than that. This is the Vedic injunction. So they interpret that unless you become physically strong, you cannot make any spiritual advancement. So, but in the Western countries, we have seen so many people physically very strong, stout and strong, practically everyone. Well, what is their self-advancement and self-realization? So these things are going on. So bala means spiritual strength, not material strength. Nayam atma bala hinena labhyam. That means that one must be spiritually strong. And that spiritually strong means to have good faith in Krishna and Guru. That is spiritual strength. Therefore, Baladev means Guru, spiritual strength. Balaram haila nitai. Nitai era karuna habe. What is that song? Nitai era karuna habe braja radha Krishna pabe. He is, if there is mercy of Nitai, then... Conversation, 1974. A little more on that. In the Upanishads, it is stated the same, Nayam Atma Balahinena Labhyam. The purport is that one cannot attain the spiritual platform of self-realization without being sufficiently favored by Balaram. That's the translation we're more familiar with and more pertinent to this occasion. Bala does not mean physical strength, etc. One must have the spiritual strength which is infused by Balaram, Shankarshan, Ananta, or Shesha. Shesha is the source of the power which sustains all the planets in their different positions. Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says in chapter 15 that by my potency, the planets, they all stay in all orbit. But that's Krishna as Balaram is doing that. Materially, this sustaining power is known as the law of gravitation, but actually it is a display of the potency of Shankarshan, Balaram, who is the source of spiritual power or the original spiritual master. Therefore, Lord Nityananda Prabhu, who is also the incarnation of Balaram, is the original spiritual master, and the spiritual master is the representative of Balaram, the form of the personality of Godhead, who supplies spiritual strength. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita is confirmed that the spiritual master is the manifestation of the mercy of Krishna. That's from Krishna book, chapter 2. And then in another place, in a lecture in 1974 on the 1.5.22 of Bhagavatam, again, the same verse. He says, today is Baladev Abhibhava, the appearance of Lord Balaram. Baladev in the strength. He quotes the same verse. And then he also says, now our Vivekananda Swami, when he says our, he's talking in terms of Indian, you know. Our Vivekananda Swami, he interpreted that quote, "Unless you become stout and strong like the bulls and the buffalo, you cannot realize self." It's a quotation. He interpreted like that. So he engaged people to make gymnastics, exercise. Also, Balaram is described in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 10, text 17, that it is to be understood that that Vasudev referred to in this verse, that verse is Vrishninam Vasudevosmi Pandavanam Dananjaya, etc. But the first line is what's pertinent. Vrishninam, amongst the Vrishnis, I am Vasudev. So the Vasudev, I always thought meant Krishna, but here it says that the Vasudev referred to in this verse of Bhagavad Gita is Baladev or Balaram, because he is the original source of all incarnations, and thus he is the sole source of Vasudev. Then another reference in the line of Tattva, that's Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 3, text 23. In the 19th and 20th incarnations, you see, with the Veda base, you can do this kind of thing, like even the day before. If it weren't for the Veda base, this would have taken weeks to find, looking in all the indexes. So all glories to the devotees who have created the Veda base. And now then, there's also the Vanipedia, which is a long-term work which is really, really developed by Vishnu Murti Prabhu. And that, for me, the Veda base is enough in this lifetime, but those who have the drive to even go into something even more comprehensive than the, perhaps the Vanipedia is the next level. Okay. In the 19th and 20th incarnations, the Lord Advented himself as Lord Balaram and Lord Krishna, in the family of Vrishni, the Yadu dynasty. And by so doing, he removed the burden of the world. And the purport, the specific mention of the word Bhagavan in this text indicates that Balaram and Krishna are original forms of the Lord. This will be further explained later. Although they just mention incarnation, but here it says, Lord Krishna is not an incarnation of the Purusha, as we learned from the beginning of this chapter. He is directly the original personality of Godhead, and Balaram is the first plenary manifestation of the Lord. From Baladev, the first phalanx of plenary expansions, Vasudev, Shankarshan, Aniruddha, and Pradyumna, expands. Lord Sri Krishna is Vasudev, and Baladev is Shankarshan. Another reference in the third chapter, in the famous verse 1328. What is that? Itam kam sha. How is that? Itam kam sha. What is it? Kala Krishna. Krishna stu Bhagavan Svayam. Mahavakya of Bhagavatam. Great statement. The incarnations of Rama and Dhanvantari displayed his fame. And Balaram, Mohini, that means Mohini Murti, and Vamana, it's getting interesting, right? exhibited his beauty. So it's interesting that Lord Balaram is grouped together with Mohini Murti and Lord Vamanadev as manifestations of the beauty, that opulence, Sad Aishvarya Punam, Vishnu Tattva, Bhagavan, is replete in all six opulences, one of which is beauty. And just for your information, Dattatreya, Matsya, and Kumara, and Kapila exhibited his transcendental knowledge, and Nara and Narayan Rishis exhibited his austerity or renunciation. Then in the 14th chapter, verse 29, first canto still, Srimad Bhagavatam, Sri Ram, or Balaram, is the protector of the devotees of the Lord. He acts as the spiritual master of all devotees, and by his causeless mercy, the fallen souls are delivered. Sri Baladev appeared as Sri Nityananda Prabhu during the advent of Lord Chaitanya, and the great Lord Nityananda Prabhu exhibited his causeless mercy by delivering a pair of extremely fallen souls, namely, Shagai and Madai. Therefore, it is particularly mentioned herein that Balaram is the protector of the devotees of the Lord. By his divine grace only one can approach the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna. And thus Balaram is the mercy incarnation of the Lord, manifested as the spiritual master, the savior of the pure devotees. Then in the same chapter, text 35-36 purport, Maharaj Yudhisthira has compared the Yadu dynasty to the ocean of milk, and Sri Balaram to the Ananta, where Lord Krishna resides. Poetic description. And then in the third canto, first chapter, text 26, Lord Krishna and Balaram are not two different personalities of Godhead. God is one without a second, but he expands himself in many forms without their being separate from one another. They are all plenary expansions. The immediate expansion of Lord Krishna is Baladev, and Brahma, born from the lotus flower from Garbhodakshay Vishnu. Brahma, born from the lotus flower from Garbhodakshay Vishnu, is an expansion of Baladev. Are we expansions of Baladev? You and I? The Vishnu, the Jiva Tattva? Well, according to Jiva Dharma and some other places, we're expansions of Mahavishnu. Exactly, Balaram. I will now make a few impromptu remarks. That when I mentioned that it's very mysterious, actually, we hear that Shiva Tattva is very mysterious Tattva, but I would say that Balaram Tattva is also. Yes, he's Vishnu Tattva, that's for sure. There's no doubt about that. But what is his relationship with Krishna? In Leela, it's easy to answer the question. In terms of Leela, his relationship is the Supreme Personality of Servitor Godhead. Sometimes spiritual master is described like that. Of course, spiritual master and Lord Balaram, Lord Nityananda, very closely related, as we're learning this morning. But sometimes we hear that Prabhupada said that the only difference is the color, otherwise they're completely the same. But certainly, at least in Leela, we find there's a difference. If there weren't a difference, then why are they sometimes? We heard that there was a strong conflict there with the kidnapping by Arjuna of their younger sister, Subhadra. Actually, what could be a greater difference of opinion than that? Screaming and yelling and everything. No, it's okay. It's just right on time. Multimedia presentation. What could be a greater difference of opinion that actually Lord Balaram wanted Subhadra to marry Duryodhana? Could you imagine? And Duryodhana was an arch enemy of Lord Balaram. These things, even the Leela is pretty mysterious in places. Also, it seems like Lord Balaram, in English there's a term, not to be irreverent. I mean, this, once you take sannyas, you know, it's like, it used to be three strikes and you're out, and when you take sannyas, it's one strike and you're out, so you have to be very careful. So, it's a caveat, I mean, so it's not to be irreverent, but sometimes there's a term, the fall guy, or something, someone who can, like, become tricked in certain ways. It seems like Lord Balaram is a little bit more vulnerable to that than Krishna, because here's Arjuna sitting right at the table, and it seemed that, at least in the Leela, it seemed Lord Balaram didn't quite catch that. And meanwhile, Arjuna and Subhadra making eyes at each other, and actually Lord Balaram even instructed Subhadra to render nice service to this visiting sadhu who's come, and actually it was Arjuna. Also we hear that Lord Balaram, similar to Yudhisthira, had a certain addiction to playing chess, at least according to the king of Kalinga, who tried to exploit that interest that Lord Balaram had chess. And he said, but actually we know that Lord Balaram, he's not very expert. chest. So these things are there. Also, we hear about, we don't see Krishna becoming so furious so easily. I mean, you can say, well, as Lord Nishin, but as Krishna himself, yes, he kills so many demons, but he often does it with a smile on his face. Whereas Lord Balaram, he actually gets furious quite quickly, even in apparently inappropriate moment when he decapitates the Roma Harshan Sutta, who was certainly not a demon. He was just foolish. He didn't stand up when Lord Balaram entered. And then Lord Balaram very submissively performed some atonement under the directions of the brahmanas there, who very mildly protested, very politely protested, etc. So we see some differences. In terms of tattva, it becomes even more difficult to really distinguish between the two, at least for me, my poor fund of knowledge, perhaps. Because Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's the origin of all the incarnations, and so is Balaram. Although we say Balaram, and we hear him, he's the first expansion of Krishna. So that could be a discussion, but due to the time factor, it's also Krishna. We'll have to move along. I have still a little more on the subject of tattva, and then let's see, it's supposed to end at 9 o'clock, is that the time? 9? 10 to 9? It ends now. All tattva, no lila. Okay, I'm leaving space for Dina Vanda Prabhu for tomorrow. What's the time it's supposed to end? I'm hearing whispering. 8:45. So it's all over, folks. All right. I mean, I have all this is Leela, 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 and Leela to read, but I did read the biography, so it gives a little bit hint. So maybe. Oh, now it's changed. Or did you make the sun not rise as quickly or something? All right, we'll have a little bit of more nectarian. Well, it's all nectarian. Talk for Leela. Here's the Leela package. The Leela package. Kamsa was a great giant. This is from Canto 3, Chapter 3, Text 1, purport. Kamsa was a great giant, and Vasudeva and Devaki never thought that Krishna and Balaram, Baladev, would be able to kill such a great and strong enemy. When the two brothers attacked Kamsa on the throne, their parents feared that now Kamsa would finally get the opportunity to kill their sons, whom they had hidden for so long. In the house of Nanda Maharaj, the parents of the Lord, due to parental affection, felt extreme danger and they almost fainted just to convince them that they had actually killed Kamsa. Krishna and Baladev, what did they do? To assure their parents that the danger is over? I think I'm going deaf. They dragged the body, just like a show the animal was dead. In this case, it was Kamsa. They dragged the body across the wrestling arena. Then we have 18th chapter of the 10th canto. Shamba was arrested by the Kauravas. Later, when Lord Balaram came to rescue him, there was an argument about Shamba's release. Since the argument was not settled, Balaram showed his power in such a way that all of Hastinapura trembled and would have been vanquished as if by a great earthquake. Then the matter was settled, and Shamba married Duryodhana's daughter. The purport is that one should take shelter of Krishna Balaram, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose protective power is so great that it cannot be equaled in the material world. However powerful the reactions of one's sins, they will immediately be vanquished if one chants the name of Hari, Krishna, Balaram, or Narayan. Prabhupada discusses a lot about the nomenclature, and I remember that purport in Chaitanya Charitamrita where Srila Prabhupada says two of our sannyasis were having an argument whether when we chant Rama in the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, we're referring to Lord Balaram or Lord Ramachandra. And also, Prabhupada also states that there's another Ram, Parashuram. But mostly we hear about either Balaram or Lord Ramachandra. And he says in that purport, he writes, that actually both were correct. So that's there. Then we have Then we, of course, we have the pastime of Krishna. I mean, Lord Balaram killed Pralambasura. In one place, it's described that Lord Krishna wanted to. Oh, that was in the Dainakasura. Lord Krishna wanted to give Balaram the chance. Lord Krishna was killing so many demons, he wanted to share the fun with Lord Balaram. So he let Lord Balaram kill the first ass demon. So we know that the background, they had a game, and those who lose have to carry the victors on their shoulders. Krishna lost, Balaram lost, so he had to carry Pralambasura. Pralambasura lost, so he had to carry Balaram, and Pralambasura began to walk away very quickly, but Balaram became as heavy as Mount Sumeru. And the demon, unable to carry him, had to reveal his true demoniac form. When Balaram saw this terrible form, he struck the demon a ferocious blow on the head with his fist. The blow shattered Pralambasura's head, just as lightning bolts hurled by the king of the demigods shatter mountains. And it goes on to one of these descriptions where what we would normally consider very ghastly becomes aesthetically very beautiful. It says, when the demon repeatedly vomited blood and then fell upon the ground. When the cowherd boys saw Lord Balaram return, they joyfully embraced and congratulated him as the demigod showered flowers and garlands of flowers from the heavens and glorified him. That's a summary of the 18th chapter, 10th canto. This is from the 18th chapter, the same chapter, but it's actually from purport, text 27. When Lord Balaram, who carries the plow weapon, saw the gigantic body of the demon as he moved swiftly in the sky with his blazing eyes, fiery hair, terrible teeth reaching towards his scowling brows, and an amazing effulgence generated by his armlets, crown and earrings, the Lord seemed to become a little frightened. And the Sanskrit is Isat Atrasat. Isat is a little, and Atrasat became frightened. Purport. Excuse me. Srila Sanatana Goswami explains Lord Baladev's so-called fear as follows. Balaram was playfully acting out the role of an ordinary cowherd boy. And to maintain the mood of this pastime, he appeared slightly disturbed by the horrible demoniac body. Also, because the demon had appeared as a cowherd boyfriend of Krishna's, and because Krishna had accepted him as a friend, Baladev was slightly apprehensive about killing him. Because Krishna accepted him as a friend, even though he was really a demon. Balaram could also have been worried that since this cowherd boy was actually a demon in disguise, that very moment, another such demon might have been attacking Lord Krishna himself. Thus, the omniscient and omnipotent Supreme Lord Balaram exhibited the pastime of becoming slightly nervous in the presence of the horrible demon Pralamba. So it's interesting, in the BBT purport, here it says the omniscient and omnipotent. So why is it a pastime? Because if he's omniscient, he would have known whether or not there were other demons coming. Actually, there weren't. It was only Pralambasura. And if he were omnipotent, then he wouldn't even for a moment be afraid or be worried in that sense about the demon's strength. Then in the 8th chapter of the 10th canto, text 34, purport, my dear mother, they have plotted together and lodged a complaint against me. This is Krishna speaking, of course. so that you will punish me. My elder brother Balaram has joined them. You see, this is Krishna also believed in conspiracies, this conspiracy theory here. He said, Balaram has joined them. Actually, I have not done this. Take my words as true. Do not be angry and chastise me. And then, this is a little bit Leela and Tattva. Text 37, chapter 11 of course, canto 10. Krishna and Balaram taught us by their personal behavior. Krishna took care of the cows and played his flute. And Balaram took care of agricultural activities with a plow in his hand. And then 59th verse, 11th, the same chapter, 11, canto 10. In this way, Krishna and Balaram passed their childhood age in Vrajabhuni by engaging in the activities of childish play, such as playing hide-and-seek, constructing a make-believe bridge on the ocean, and jumping here and there like monkeys. This is Krishna and Balaram together. I thought it was kind of sweet to hear the detail of their childhood play. So I'll just read one more, and then if someone wants to add something, there's so much more, of course. This is interesting. This is from, of course, the 10th canto, chapter 13, text 35, as well as some of the purport. And, okay, let's hear. Up to this time, even Balaram was captivated by the bewilderment that covered Brahma. This is the Brahma Vimohan Lila of the Krishna expanding and replacing with Vishnu Tattva expansions. All the calves and the cowherd, or the calves or cows and cowherd boys. Even Balaram did not know that all the calves and cowherd boys were expansions of Krishna, or that he himself was also an expansion of Krishna. This was disclosed to Balaram just 5 or 6 days before the completion of the year. This is actually the purport of text 28, chapter 13. Always canto 10 now. Because of an increase of affection, the cows had constant attachment even to those calves that were grown up and had stopped sucking milk from their mothers. When Baladev saw this attachment, he was unable to understand the reason for it, and thus he began to consider. These calves were grown up, but still the mothers wanted to feed them. Therefore, Balaram was a little surprised, and he wanted to inquire from Krishna about the reason for their behavior. These uncommon events were taking place because of the influence of Yoga Maya. From the very day on which Brahma stole the calves and boys, Yoga Maya acted in such a way that the residents of Vrindavan, including even Lord Balaram, could not understand how Yoga Maya was working and causing such uncommon things to happen. But as Yoga Maya gradually acted, Balaram in particular was able to understand what was happening, and therefore he inquired from Krishna, what is this wonderful phenomenon, the affection in... Oh, I didn't do this right. So anyway, stops there. I read somewhere else that it was like 7 days or 8 days before the end of the year, then Balaram fully understood. So again, it's Leela. Balaram is omniscient, just as Krishna is omniscient, but all-knowing. But as Leela, he allowed himself to become enchanted by his Yoga Maya. Yeah, here's, so I said that would be the last one. So that's the last one for now. Tomorrow there'll be an ocean of nectar. This was hardly a drop. So just, we have until 9 o'clock, we have another 6 minutes, and anyone would like to contribute something. Ramiya, from the microphone, s'il vous plaît.
Actually, I think as I recall in that Brahma Vimohan Lila, it said that by Krishna's will, that Balaram became bewildered and was unaware of the situation. So indicating Krishna's superior in that sense, that even if he doesn't want Balaram to know something, then Balaram can't know it.
Yeah, there's one thing I wanted to mention, that very mysterious subject about the relationship, especially in terms of tattva, between Krishna and Balaram, is that the we may be tempted to just say, oh, I understand, it's a chincha beta beta tattva. But a very, very learned scholarly devotee, who you all are familiar with, Ravindra Swarup Prabhu, he strongly suggested in one seminar that achinta beta beta tattva, really, we can't just use it for anything and everything. When it comes to Krishna's personal expansions, there really is, in terms of tattva, there may be in terms of lila, but in terms of tattva, there's really no adeta. There's only, there's no beta, there's no difference, there's only abeta, there's only oneness. That is, Krishna is this one supreme personality of Godhead, is one. And he is so opulent that he could manifest in so many different forms. So this, I think, has a special application to Krishna and Balaram. But yes, in terms of lila, we see, in terms of tattva, yes, that's also there, that Krishna is one step ahead of Lord Balaram. Lord Balaram is the first expansion of Krishna, but he's a very special expansion, that we refer to the two of them as Supreme Personality of Godhead. So it is kind of inconceivable. I think
One other small point, and that was in the Pralambasura Lila, in Kavi Kanapura's explanations or recounting. Actually, Balaram is
Ananda Vrindavan Champu.
Yes, okay. As he's being carried away, Balaram is calling out to Krishna, "This is a demon. What should I do?" And Krishna says, "You're the supreme personality of Godhead. Just strike him on the head and kill him."
Yeah, I was just reading that last night. I said, "Remember your, don't forget. Remember your divine power. Remember who you are. You have no problem." Shivakram.
So the part where he's assisting Duryodhana, that's kind of amazing. In one of the Purana, it stated that the son of Dhritarashtra, Duryodhana, would assist the Lord in his pastime in exterminating the demons.
Something wrong with the microphone? Is that a lila, a microphone lila?
So Balaram keeping up Duryodhana's spirit was maintaining him for him to act as
is that your philosophical speculation, or is that is that also mentioned in the shastras that you referred to? It does make sense. One general principle about the battle of Kurukshetra and bringing them all together and all that, Gopi Puranadana reminds us of something we already know, but we may not have made connected the dots, so to speak. That actually the battle of Kurukshetra was really a battle between the demons and the demigods, because that was the, you know, they all came. The demons took birth in families of Kshatriyas and Brahmanas, and the demigods were specifically instructed by Krishna to come and appear as the Yadu dynasty, etc. So, and of course the Pandavas, and so it had this cosmic aspect to it. It wasn't only completely like limited to this earth. A great war. It was even greater than it may have seemed. Okay, anyone else? 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4. 3, 2, 1. Jai Hare Krishna Sri Balaram Ki Jai Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Sri Krishna Balaram Sri Radha Shama Shri Gaur Nitai Ki Jai Jai Ho Premanand.